Wir setzen uns für sauberes Wasser für alle Lebewesen ein. Darum sind wir Teil der Blue Community. Bei uns folgt jeden Sonntagabend um 8 Uhr eine Sendung zum Thema Wasser. Und jetzt kommt die nächste Folge. Viel Spass!
Diese Sendung von der Blue Community wird auf Englisch sein. Eine Übersetzung folgt natürlich direkt nach dem, auf falls ihr es auf der Webseite nachhört, auf dem Part German, wo separat ist aufgeladen wurde. Dear audience of Radio Chico, welcome to a new episode of Blue Community. I am thrilled to have standing right across me Reverend Kola De Fadaunzi for an exclusive interview. Reverend Kola De, welcome to the Radio Chico studio and thank you for taking your time for us today.
Thank you very much, Sidi. It's nice to be here.
Dear Reverend Kola De, I think we should get this interview started first talking about you as a person. So could you please share with us who you are and your journey into becoming a reverend?
Thank you very much. I am Kola De Fadaunzi. I am a priest of Methodist Church Nigeria. I am from the southwest part of Nigeria, particularly Ekiti State, which is one of the states in the southern part of Nigeria, and the Yoruba ethnic nationality in Nigeria. My journey into becoming a reverend is actually as a result of the environment I grew up with. In my village, it's a predominantly Christian village, and you see that you are a Roman Catholic or you're a Protestant, and what actually led to my decision was that in those years, the only person that commanded so much authority and influence in the village is the Reverend. It was our village pastors, and our parents would always go to him for one thing or the other. And the platform he has in the church where he can bring ideas to the community and also coordinate people into making sure that such ideas became fruitful really fascinated me, and I was quietly within myself that I want to be like this person. So
this leads maybe already to my next question, where I'm asking what inspired you to pursue this path and how it shaped your life and the involvement for this various organization you're in now. So I think the first part, you already answered it. You said it's because of all the reverends that you used to see, the pastors in your village or in the environment you grew up. So what about the other part of the question?
Yeah, at the seminary, you have options to choose which line of theology you want to pursue and how you want to pursue it. So for me, because of the experiences of what I've witnessed growing up, the experiences of inequality, the experiences of poverty, social problems, and questions. So I studied the work of liberation theologians, and I was like, yes, this is something for me because it answers very deep thoughts and questions that really agitated my mind about how can I impact the life of people, how can I be more productive as a reverend, and how can I act the gospel, not preaching the gospel alone. So being a liberation theologian has really helped me. And I started in school. I volunteered as part of the Amnesty International, which is a very secular organization. But it helped people that I've never met, that I will never even meet in my lifetime, by writing letters, by taking appeal on issues. And this has really helped me to grow in that direction, knowing fully well that every action that we take in any way, in any part of the world, we contribute to the global solution somewhere.
Yeah. So it's really fascinating to see your involvement. And you have been, as you already mentioned now, Amnesty International, you partook in a lot of projects and organizations. Could you walk us through some of the pivotal moments and experiences that led to you to finally then join also the Blue Community Nigeria?
Thank you very much, Sedi. In Nigeria and elsewhere in Africa, maybe especially sub-Saharan Africa, two basic things are key for us, and that is food and water. Food and water is very key for us, and I've seen injustices in the area of water provision, water availability, and I've seen that water, lack of water, has actually also impeded growth of so many people. For example, myself, growing up in the village, I knew what we passed through looking for potable water. We have to wake up very early in the morning, because if you don't wake up early in the morning to access the stream and the point where we fetch water, then you will fetch water that is already dirty or polluted. So you have to wake up very early in the morning, as early as 3 a.m., 4 a.m., our children in a line being led by one adult to go and fetch water. And we never get enough water to use because it's far, and so you ration water. And I see what it does to our sanitation, what it does to our human dignity, and this actually became an issue for me. And I've seen the nexus between food and water, and there's no way you can eat without water. And I've seen situations whereby water was rationed in the family. If you take one glass of water, they'll say you have taken enough and let others drink. Whereas this is a free gift of God that should be accessible and that should be available to people. So this actually informed my decision to say, okay, this is one thing that is dear to me, and I will join others to really work and provide a solution.
So what specially drew your attention to the Blue Community Initiative? Because now you spoke about how it's really difficult for some of the African countries, now you're speaking about Nigeria, with the water situation. So now, what especially drew your attention now to the organization Blue Community, amidst all the other worthy causes and organizations out there?
Thank you very much. One of the strategy of working, creating Blue Community is the peaceful nature at which is organized advocacy on water as a human right. It's a process that you want to grow a communal ownership of water. Very communal, very small actions coming together in clusters of people, in the church, in the society, in institutions, schools, creating the platform, creating the presence of people together owning water and making water to be a common good and not a private good. So the Blue Community Initiative also is very dearly because it also creates platform for engagement, networking, and these are very important to me. And it drew my attention. I see that, yes, this is a very good initiative that can be copied and spread elsewhere.
So considering the critical importance of potable water, especially in regions like Africa, what motivated you to dedicate your time and efforts to ensuring access of clean water as a human right?
Thank you. Water, like I said, is a free gift of God. But over the years, in Africa, in countries like Senegal, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, and even South Africa, water is fast becoming a commodity which is going to be controlled by multinationals, taking the right to water as a free gift away from people. So dedicating my time and my experience and my commitment to access to clean water is like serving, providing service to the people. And also because of my profession as a minister of religion, I see human rights as those basic tenets that really connect my belief system to God, that every human being are born equal, they're free, and what God created for them to live a life that is meaningful must not be commercialized. So if we don't work for water as a human right and water becomes a commercial, highly commercial commodity, then we will not be fulfilling our duty to people as ministers of God.
So I know that me personally also originating from Africa, I know that Nigeria is one of the very hardworking countries. And I think also in terms of the Blue Community, I can speak. So now, actually, could you highlight some of the notable projects established in Nigeria under the Blue Community umbrella?
Yeah, sadly enough, the Blue Community Initiative is very new now in Nigeria. Though we have an organization that we call Ecumenical Water Network, which is an initiative of the World Council of Churches to promote rights to water amongst our congregation. This is Lenten period. We have what we call 7 weeks of water, that every week we bring out a particular reflection about water situation in a particular a location or country or a community, to keep talking about water and also to restore hope to people who are actually suffering because of lack of access to water. But for Nigeria, to be specific, we work with other organizations that are promoting water justice. And they are between 2020 and 2022 in Nigeria, there was this introduction of a water resources bill in the parliament that wants to take water ownership from the hands of local people to the federal government. And we saw danger in that, and we advocated, we campaigned, we did a lot of awareness and networking, and that bill was suspended in the National Assembly. And so we were very happy that we could be able to achieve that. And beyond that, we have been able to curate clusters, groups of people, students, congregations, who are now discussing water as a human right, giving them platform and visibility, and thinking that as we progress, we'll be able to establish blue communities that will be certified in churches, in schools, especially the mission schools in Nigeria, and also in community. And one thing that we are working on presently is the process of interfacing and engaging with government to reactivate the water reservoirs that provide potable water to people in communities in large quantity. So these are pockets of actions and issues that we have engaged in Nigeria.
Thank you very much. So speaking about Africa as a whole, we know that it's a continent as diverse and dynamic. And being so, what are the unique challenges and opportunities you've encountered while implementing blue community projects in Nigeria, or water projects in general?
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, water has become a commodity globally, and multinational, international financial organizations have beamed their searchlight in the area of water, wanting to turn it to a commodity. It's already placed on the stock in the U.S., in New York, as a commodity. We have organizations, multinational organizations, that are trying to grab water from the local people. So one of the challenges that we have faced, that as we advocate, we face daily counter narratives that want to make our work to look as if it's less important. And also the complicity of governments in Africa, because of their failure to provide water for people. They are bringing out the narrative that it is only privatization that can solve the problem of lack of water. But this is not true, because if water is privatized, it becomes an expensive commodity. If it is out of the reach of local people, then it becomes a tool for oppression. So we are encountering the pressure from multinationals and government to convince people to go in supporting privatization of water. And also, another thing that is confronting us across Africa is that, you know, culture and context differs. And the high level of corruption in government, in the public services, especially the public corporations that own water in trust on behalf of government, these days, lack of maintenance of the facilities, which makes water to be in short supply, is actually justifying, in quotes, the position that it has to be in the hands of the private sector, who will be able to monitor, who will be able to provide leadership in that direction. So, and lastly, for me, you know, the frequency at which we need to raise resources to advance this campaign is not there. And so that is why we are looking for partnership. We are trying to see where we can raise up our capital sources so that we can continue to engage and do this work. Yeah,
I can first say thank you for your engagement. And also, we always say one hand washes the other. Ahead now, with the challenges that you faced and also some of them that you could like go against. What are the plan and methods that Blue Community Nigeria have tried to put in place to ensure a sustainable growth and impact across Africa?
Thank you very much. For us as Blue Communities, which is, like I said, we are new on ground, we are evolving, so we are extending our hands of fellowship or collaboration to other countries in Africa. Presently, we are working in Nigeria, in Ghana, Sierra Leone, Kenya, and South Africa, five African countries where we have a local collaboration and trying to make sure that we expand this initiative in those areas. And also, one of the plans that we have is to actually look at the established Blue communities, like the Swiss Blue community here, to actually journey with us and provide kind of technical support and information sharing, gathering, and in need of technology, putting our stories here in the public domain, on the internet, and sharing in other platforms, especially the social media engagement that will create the interest of young people to see what we are doing. And by so doing, we project the initiative further. These are our plans ahead. And immediately, you know, March 22nd is the World Water Day, which is a day that we celebrate across. So we are actually on this day, on the 22nd of March this year, launching a fact sheet on water in those five countries, looking at voices of water from the communities in those countries and sharing those voices with other stakeholders and partners and other platforms as well, so that people will know that this is happening. We'll move forward from there.
We can see that you guys have already advanced really well. And beyond providing now access of potable water, what are some of the broader socio-economic or environmental benefits that the Blue Community Initiative aims to achieve in Nigeria and beyond?
Like I said earlier on, there is a very close nexus between food and water. If we are able to manage water through the Blue Community Initiative, it will increase food production in Africa and in Nigeria. And also, this way, the objective of Blue Community that promote water as a common good, as a public good, and as a human right, we also advance the attainment of fundamental human rights, and especially the SDG goal 6 in the area of water, and also bring peace. Because one of the very disturbing situation around lack of water portable is that it can breed violence, it can cause abuse of human rights. So when we have water and within a close radius and everybody can get water, then it's going to reduce violence, it's going to reduce the rate at which people are exposed, are vulnerable to abuse of their rights. So these are good benefits that we've foreseen that we are strengthening this initiative will bring to us in the nearest future.
Maybe adding to this question, I am thinking, for example, now of the topic sustainability that is a big topic nowadays because we really need it. Yeah. And talking about sustainability, I know, for example, that in Switzerland, they're trying to create a system that they reuse water. It means how to purify and clarify water. Though knowing that you guys may be in Nigeria with the whole Blue Community and all the associations, you guys are still emerging. Are there already such things that are being discussed around?
Yeah, thank you very much. For us, you know, like I said, we are not as technologically advanced as you are in the global north. But one thing that we are starting with is to actually connect and build consciousness of people around sanitation. And also to work on reducing the level at which we pollute water, especially from the original sources where people scoop water from in Africa. Because even people, households that have shallow wells, which we draw water from like cistern in Africa, if such wells and sources of water is exposed to defecation from open defecation and pollution from plastics, and the blockages and so on and so forth, then this water point will dry off. It may interest you to know that in South Africa, this year, even in Cape Town, there was a 0 hour, 0 point when water was not available, and it completely dried up from the brooks, because these are connections. Water flows from somewhere to somewhere to somewhere. It connects. There is no city that their water, underground water, start from their community and hence there. It's a connection from somewhere. It flows from A to B to C to Z. So in Nigeria, in Africa, we are promoting the aspect of sanitation around water, preservation of water, not in advance as way of life, but local preservation of water, covering water, making sure that the parts of water is free, reducing plastic pollution, and so on and so forth. So for us, this is the way we want to sustain. We are thinking about sustainability, especially when it comes to water sources and also water sharing. Yes.
Thank you very much. So now, at last, as someone deeply involved in the community development of humanitarian work and Blue Community and all the rest, what advice would you give to young people aspiring to make a difference in their community, especially in the realm of water accessibility and sustainability?
Yes, I will answer that in two ways. One, in Africa context, we must understand that when you waste water at one point, another point will suffer for it. So there must be consciousness as to if you have water, you must not waste water. Close taps, cover water pots, and so on and so forth in areas where you have access to it. And also think together that water is a common good owned collectively by people. And so the community ownership of water is also very key in our context and in Africa. And in the context of the Global North here, I think most of the projects that organizations will support here should actually be in the area of water provision, exporting technology, the aspect of water purification for us, machines that can help in purifying water. Instead of supporting initiatives that want to turn water to a commercial good, I think young people here should also help in advancing the cause of maintaining the fact that water has to be retained in Africa as a common good by the way of where the discourse and discussions they will contribute to, and taking up initiative that connects their groups here to the groups in the Global South. By so doing collectively, we'll be responding to the issue of accessibility and sustainability of water in different parts of the world. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anything that maybe from your point I haven't said that you would like to add or I haven't asked?
Nothing really, but to say that this is a very beautiful initiative. I'm so inspired that young people are doing this. This is very fantastic. And focusing on a very crucial context for me is something that I take to heart. And I want to really thank you for the good work you are doing here. And I hope that you will continue to project our work in Africa and also expand your coverage in Africa. I want to congratulate you for this beautiful
thank you very much.
Initiative. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So, dear audience, that was Reverend Kolade Fadaunsi on the topic of the Blue Community and humanitarian work. Thank you very much once again for taking your time and for all your amazing and educative information. Thank you.
Thank you.
What an amazing interview with Reverend Kolade Fadaunsi. I was so amazed by all his answers and all the information he could give to us. And so at the end of this interview, we have arrived and at the end of this Blue Community. I hope to have you guys with me also for the next one and for the English speakers, of course, who will always try grabbing some English speaking interview partners. So thank you very much and see you next time. Bye bye.